Welcome to Planet Shakers Church. I'm so excited that you're with us today. I'm going to be sharing on the double portion from glory to glory. It is an amazing thing what God is doing in people's lives. He wants to take you to next levels, new levels. Why don't you sit back, relax, enjoy, open up your heart to experience the presence of God. How many know that God's a builder? How many know God is so awesome? No one knows that. Oh, well, someone did over there. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciated that, whoever said yes. Who said yes? Could you stand up for a second? You said no. We're going to give you a clap. Well done. That was brilliant. Good job. How many know that God is awesome? God has the ability to do something in a millisecond. Bam! Because God isn't in time, He's out of time. That's just a crazy thought just to think about that. But He can do in a millisecond something immediately. Just bam! So amazing. For example, one moment you can be having a life headed to destruction, going to hell, living for yourself. You might have all the money in the world. You might have all the degrees in the world. But without Jesus, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so you can be going one way, one moment, then have an encounter, a revelation of who God is. And in a second, your life be transformed. And the Bible says you become born again. Change in a moment, it just bam, right there. I love those moments. So suddenly, when God heals you suddenly, but there's other times that takes you on a journey and heals you. I've had suddenlies. I've had God heal me like bam. When I was 6 years of age, I had an intern turned in leg, and my foot was turning like that. My parents had prayed for me many times, and we'd taken me to a specialist, and the specialist was about to put irons on my leg, and my father and my mother believed that in the power of Jesus, and they laid hands upon me, and I got in the car and we drove 20 minutes and we got to our destination. They opened the door, and in that car ride, Jesus, the physician, had come in and straightened my leg up and completely healed it, and I could run like a normal kid. There was an instantaneous miracle. That's a suddenly. I love that. Our God is awesome. Everyone say, our God is awesome. He's awesome. He's all and some. So many people get so familiar with God. He's awesome. But there's another part of God. It's not only does He do things like that, He's also a builder. All through Scripture, you see that God builds. There's patterns of He builds. The Bible says in Psalm 127, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds a house. So in other words, He's a builder by nature. He builds. Our lives are called the temple or the house of God. So unless God builds our house, our lives, all the things we do are in vain. So many people try to become successful at that and successful and successful, successful. And they're all trying to find their purpose, and they're all trying to find their ways in life. But here's the key to success in life. Come to God. Let Him give you direction. And it's you and I working with Him. The Bible says we're co-laborers with Christ. But it's God who is the chief. He is the one who's in control. Unless the Lord builds. So how does God build? And there's three ways I'm going to talk about, but I won't get to three tonight, I only get to one. How does God build? Unless the God builds the house. See, God, to build is to establish. The word build means to establish or restore. In the garden, God's plan was for heaven, the garden to be a picture of what heaven was like on earth, and there was no sin and there was no sickness and there was no issues, really. There was nothing there. And man's job was to subdue, to have dominion, and that still hasn't changed. But man fell and sin came into the world, and man began to live for themselves. But God, I love that little two statement word in the Bible, but God. I was lost, but God. I was broken, but God. I was alone, but God. I was depressed, but God. But God so loved the world, He had a plan to restore what He had planned in the first place, to reestablish the building of what He planned to do, was to bring heaven to earth, was to release the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven on earth. So He brought Jesus, and Jesus came. And you remember Jesus, He would say things like this: everything I do, I represent my dad. And so what Jesus showed us, what the kingdom looked like. He would say, the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. He would say, you can say to this mountain and it shall be removed. And He would show us how to multiply things. He would show us how to speak to things. He would show us how to love things. He would show us how to release healing. He would show us how to deal with religious spirits. He would show us what to tolerate and what to rebuke. How does God build? One day, Jesus was with His disciples, and there's this Simon, he was a fisherman. Simon's name being Reed. He's Simon by nature. Simon by nature was somebody who was taken to his emotions. Even through when his name changed to Peter, he was still taken by his emotions. Remember when he was in the garden and they came to arrest Jesus and he cut the dude's ear off? Fluctuates by his emotions. When I was in Bible college, they taught me this thing. They said, salvation is immediate. Talking about building. Then they said there's this thing called sanctification. Sanctification is the process of becoming more and more like Christ. That's the building. Right? So salvation, I'm changed immediately. Sanctification is I'm being changed to be like Him. Salvation, I'm born again. Sanctification, I'm becoming more like who I'm born again into. So Jesus is with Simon and goes, hey, He's doing amazing things. And they're having this talk. They said, hey, homie, what's up? And if he was with his Malaysian friends, he'd go, voila. What? You go, what? And that speak real quick. What do people say then? Ken la. It's my bad, try to be Malaysian. But anyway, Jesus, who do people say that am? And he says, well, some say you're Moses. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist who came from the dead. Some say you're a prophet. And he says, but, and this is a question I want to ask you, because this is how God builds. But who do you, online, which is over 40,000 in this service by now, so that means in the last two services, over 130,000 people viewed these services. Who do you say that Jesus is? Simon, who do you say that Jesus is?
And Simon says, you are the Christ. Notice he doesn't say, you are Jesus. He says, you are the Christ. The Christ means the anointed one. See, people don't have a problem with Jesus, the teacher, the rabbi, the philosopher. But they have a problem with the anointed one because the anointed one shows who he is. Because you have to make a choice about the anointed one, about the rabbi or the teacher. You can go to someone else's teaching, but the anointed one points to the one who was anointed. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, you're the Messiah. You're God in flesh. You're the one we've been waiting for. You're the anointed one. The one who has power to heal the sick. The one who has power to bring breakthrough. The one who has power to bring life and life to the full. The one who has peace and joy. The one who has overflowing joy. You're the Christ. And this is what he says to Simon. He said, blessed are you, Peter, for on this rock, on this rock. Now, he wasn't standing on a hill going, yeah, see this rock here? No, it wasn't that. It wasn't Chuck Berry playing guitar and rock and roll been coming to pass. By the way, he passed away today. That's why I thought of Chuck Berry, 90 years of age. Anyway, wasn't talking about a ring he had on his finger. On this rock, wasn't talking about the stone that David threw and hit Goliath. No, no. He's talking about, on this rock, I will build my church. Remember, God's a builder. I will build my church. On this rock, I will build my church. On this rock, I will build my church. On this rock, I will build my church. And this rock that is building the church is so powerful that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the kingdom of God through the church. So, what's this rock that God builds with? It's the revelation of who Jesus is. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why worship is so important in your life. Because worship reveals who He is. See, so many Christians live with limitations. Why? Scripture says, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. The issue is they're not seeing Him. Because the Bible says when you see Him, you'll be like Him, changed from glory to glory. So what was I saying? God is a builder who takes you from glory to glory. So if you are and I aren't growing, the issue is we're seeing other things. Or we're seeing the wrong things. Or we're allowed religion to define who Jesus is. Or we've allowed a disappointment to define who Jesus is. Or we've allowed people to define who Jesus is. Or we've allowed a situation to define who Jesus is. You are the Christ. The Son of the living God.
I trust you're enjoying the message so far. Our prayer is that you continue to receive from God and let God change you and transform you into who He wants you to be.
John the Baptist. What was John the Baptist's job? To reveal Jesus. To make a way for Jesus. Remember, John the Baptist is baptizing. Hundreds of people. That's why it's called John the Baptist. And then Jesus comes. Sorry. Come on. And he stops and he sees Jesus. It's his cousin. He's never seen Jesus in his life. All of a sudden, he has a revelation. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to tie up. Revelation. He prophesies. His whole ministry was designed to prepare a way for Jesus, and Jesus comes. Revelation comes. John goes on in his ministry. John gets arrested. Jesus is doing miracles. John's in prison. And John sends his disciples to Jesus. And he says, ask Jesus, is he the Son of God? Are you for real? You've just had this moment previously. Behold the Lamb of God, Revelation. Your job is there to prepare a way for Jesus to come in. You've seen him. You've declared him. And now you question, is he him? What's happened? You've been hurt and beaten and put in prison and you're questioning. You've stopped living in revelation. See, in life, stuff happens. And the Bible says this, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Do I understand everything? No. Do I understand why my mum died of cancer? No. But I do know He is my healer. I do know He is good, and He's good all the time. My revelation isn't on what I've been through, it's on what He's been through. Let me say that again. My revelation of Jesus isn't based on what I've been through, it's based on what He's been through. Listen to this. I'm going to hurry. Wow. Why do people live in limited revelation? Paul puts it this way in Ephesians. I think it was Paul. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Everyone say, know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart, say the eyes of your heart, be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. See, what's a calling? Calling is a revelation. What's hope? Hope is a revelation. Jesus, when He was tempted by the devil, remember, He's hungry. And what did the devil come and tempt Him? Jesus said, man shall live not by bread alone, but what is entered out of the mouth of God, right? So His revelation comes from God. See, our revelation needs to be based on what God says. And then He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people and incomparable great power for us who believe. Everyone say believe. that power is the same mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. And every name that is invoked, that means cancer, that means depression, that means poverty, that means whatever you face, every name that has been invoked. Not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. And I will build my church. And Jesus has given all authority for the church. You are in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. The church is the vehicle for revival for the nations, to disciple nations. You.
Wow. Wow. So what's the issue here? I'm enjoying this. I'm preaching faith into my heart. What's the issue? What's the issue? The issue is my heart. The issue is I'm not living in revelation enough of who he is, because I've let my situation, I've let other things become bigger than him, or my expectation of him isn't big enough. Because I might have stepped out once and I got knocked back. So I got disappointed and gave up. But Jesus taught us about prayer. He said, keep me persisting. So I gotta stop viewing God through disappointment, through unforgiveness. How do I get changed? The Bible says, when I see him, I'll be like him, changed from glory to glory. Is that right? So I have an anger problem. I don't have an anger problem, but if I have an anger problem, I'm driving in my car, see somebody cut me off, I give them the bird and it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not the dove. It's the bird. Right? I get mad. Got an anger problem. I go to counseling. They give me the 10 things to do. When you get mad, think about other things. Take a deep breath. Think about what you're going to say. That might change the symptom, but that's not the cause. So how do I change it? Because it's a heart issue. I got an anger problem. Does God have anger problems? No. So if I see him, I'd be like him. So if I see him more, the more I become like him, the more I become non-angry. The more I see me, the more angry I get. The more I see others, the more angry I get. But the more I see him, the more like him I become. So you might have a lust problem. Lust of the flesh, lust for money, lust of whatever. So, I got to get my lust in control. Gambling might be a lust. I got to lust anonymous. Got to gamblers and whatever. And they're all those things are good. They're good. They help. How do I get rid of it? I can try to contain it, or I can see him. And the more I see him, he becomes my desire. And my desire is of him. And I become like him. Oh, I have a stingy problem. I'm stingy. Stingy. I wish I was generous like those people. I'm stingy.
more I see him. He's all generous. I see you more. I worship you more. Then he says, go give something.
Well, then I look at the situation and I get stingy because I'm looking at the situation. Then I take my eyes on him. See him, see him. All right, I'm going to give as I see him, not as I see that. I have a loving problem, receiving love. When I see him, I give him love. He gives love back and I run away. But I got to keep myself there. And I open up. And I see him. I have a power problem. I want to control everything. Power. And God says he'll give us power and love. So if all I do is about power, I'll abuse people. But he is power. So when I see him, he is all powerful, but he's all loving at the same time. So I'm getting power and love. So now the power I get, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same power is also the same love that raised him from the dead. And so now, instead of wanting power for control's sake, I want power for love's sake. Because I've seen him. I have a career. It's about me and my career. But when I see him, he says, that career's for me. Oh, no, it's for my prestige. I'm a doctor. No. It's for my glory. Because it goes from you to him. When I see him, that's why everybody worships. Everybody worships. The world worships. They just worship their money and their careers and themselves. Because what they focus on, what they exalt is what they worship. What they bow to is what they worship. But when you worship Jesus, you're changed from glory to glory. Moses was going to go. And he says, Jesus. Father, well, he said, Yahweh, actually. It wasn't Jesus, but Jesus was there.
He says, I can't leave this place unless your presence goes with me. He said, what defines us is your presence. Show me your glory. New Testament, change from glory to glory. Old Testament, show me your glory. Because that's what sets us apart. Tonight, my one objective, there's two objectives I have in this meeting, but it's one objective, but it's got two outworkings. One objective is for people to see Jesus for the first time who don't know him. That you have an instantaneous change. That you get saved. In a moment, you will do that. But the second objective is that every Christian will see him to be changed from glory to glory, because that's how God builds. Unless God builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless God builds your degree, your study is in vain. Because if it's all about you, but you study to do your best for God, your career is God's,
Your families is God's. Your life is God's. Let Him be the master builder.
Thanks so much for joining us. We pray that it has ministered to you. We pray that God takes you to new levels. He wants to take you from glory to glory. We'd love to connect with you on any social media platform, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can email us at church@planetshakers.com. Why don't you check out our new album, just come out. It is amazing. Legacy, 4 new tracks. You can get it on all digital formats. God bless you and have the greatest week from glory to glory. See you next week.